After holding interest rates at 4.5% for the last 9 months, the Fed is set to cut interest rates this week. At least 2 to 3 times this year and a lot more next year. So you will see the interest you get in your money market accounts in your bank fall significantly. But at the same time, how will this affect the stock market and the bond market? And which stocks and industries are set to benefit the most? Well, let's find out in this video. So this chart shows you the Fed funds rate, which is the short-term interest rate controlled by the US Federal Reserve. Now, the Fed funds rate was close to 0% right after the COVID pandemic because the Fed had to stimulate the economy with very low interest rates. But then that led to super high inflation by 2022. And so the Fed had to raise interest rates super aggressively from near 0% all the way to about 5%. And of course, that caused the 2022 stock market crash, which turned out to be a bear market. And then the Fed held the interest rate above 5% for about 1 year. And then in September of 2024, when they found that inflation was under control, they started cutting interest rates by about 1% or 100 basis points. They had 3 cuts and they cut it all the way down to where it is today at between 4.25% to 4.5% target rate. And the average rate now is about 4.33%. But it's held it there for the last 9 months. And now there's a 100% probability, as you can see over here, that they're going to cut the interest rates by 25 basis points or 50 basis points on the 17th of September. And they're going to do 2 more cuts this year and a lot more cuts next year. And the target is to bring the Fed funds rate down to 3% or less by the end of next year. Why is the Fed finally cutting rates? No, it's not because of Trump's nagging, although it could be a factor. The real reason is because data has recently showed that the US economy may be showing some cracks. So they are preempting that by starting to lower interest rates. So think of the economy like a car. So the Fed, they want the car to go at an optimal speed, not too fast and not too slow. And the Fed controls the speed of the car using interest rates. So whenever the Fed raises interest rates, it's like they're stepping on the brakes to slow the car down. When they cut interest rates, they're stepping on the accelerator to speed the car up. In 2022, when the car was going too fast, what happens? The car overheats. You get inflation. And so the Fed had to raise interest rates, step on the brakes to slow the car down. So that is what caused the 2022 stock market crash. Market crash because the market was afraid that the Fed was stepping on the brakes too hard that the whole car would stall and would not move anymore. But that didn't happen, right? There was no recession in the end. And so the market eventually recovered because they realized that, hey, the car is not stopping. The car is on a nice speed. Why is the Fed now expected to cut interest rates, to step on the accelerator? Because there's now concern that the car could be slowing down. But if you look at the recent data, GDP still looks pretty strong, right? Quarter two GDP came in at 3.3%. That's pretty strong. And if you look at quarter three, the real-time tracking by Atlanta Fed is still 3.1%. So what's the problem? Looks like the car is still going pretty fast. The problem is in the employment data. Recent employment data shows that Americans are finding it harder to get jobs. So the analogy is kind of like, you're beginning to notice that the driver is kind of like falling asleep and the car may slow down or may stall. So to wake the driver up, the Fed is now thinking, better step on the accelerator to get the car moving again so the driver wakes up and the car won't stall. So on Friday, the 5th of September, we had some jobs data that was a bit concerning. So what happened? Well, revised data shows that the US economy lost 13,000 jobs in June. This is the first month of job losses in 5 years. The last time when there were job losses in a month was December 2020 during the COVID pandemic. And at the same time, you can see that the US economy only added 22,000 jobs in August, which was way below the expectation of 75 jobs being created. At the same time, the unemployment rate went up to 4.3%. Now, an unemployment rate at 4.3% by itself is not bad. It's still within the okay zone. But if the unemployment rate continues to go up and the jobs begin to be lost, then that could lead the economy into a recession. So we are not there yet, but it could lead to a recession if this continues. It's kind of like the driver is falling asleep. That could lead to the car slowing down and stalling. So the Fed is now saying, okay, let's step on the gas to get the car moving again. A common question I've been getting is, Adam, usually when the Fed starts to cut interest rates, how does that affect the stock market? Does the stock market go up or does it go down? Does the economy get worse or does it get better? The answer is, it depends on why they're cutting and are they cutting too late or are they cutting just in time? So generally, when the Fed lowers interest rates, generally that's good, right? Because that lowers borrowing costs, which means that as a consumer, you can now borrow money at a lower interest rate, so you spend more money. That increases consumer spending. Companies can borrow money cheaply, so businesses can invest and spend more, and all this leads to increasing corporate profits. Lower interest rates also mean that when you value companies using a discounted cash flow valuation model, it increases the intrinsic value of the companies because of lower interest rates. So generally, it is good. However, it is when they cut and why they cut that makes the big difference. So if the Fed is cutting rates because it's already a recession or it's coming close to recession, that's called a recessionary cut, then that is not usually very bullish. And when that happens, as the Fed cuts interest rates, the stock market will go into a bear market for at least 6 months to 1.5 years. So this was an example of what happened in 2000, right? You can see over here in 2000, when the Fed realized, oh shit, the car is really stalling, we are going to recession, and they start to step on the gas, it's a bit too late. Because when you step on the gas, it takes time for the car to react. So when they started cutting interest rates here, you can see that the market still went into a bear market for almost a year and a half. That was the 2000 dot-com crash. Same thing in 2008, 2009. That was the great financial crisis when the real estate market collapsed and the Fed said, oh shit, the economy is in a recession. They start cutting interest rates over here. By the way, this color means they're cutting interest rates. You can see when they cut interest rates, market collapse. When they cut interest rates, market collapse. So people think that when they cut interest rates, market collapses. It is not the cutting of the rate that collapses the market. It is the fact that the market is already collapsing and they're cutting the rate to save the market, but it's too late. The market's already going down. So it takes a few months or a few quarters for the market to eventually rebound, for the car to start moving again after stalling. All right, so that's called a recessionary cut. But in this case, it looks like it is not a recessionary cut because, again, GDP is still strong, industrial production is still strong. So right now, it looks like a maintenance cut. So maintenance cut is when the Fed cuts rates when the car has not yet stalled. The car is slightly slowing down and they accelerate and hopefully the car will move again without stalling. So maintenance cuts, a good example would be in 1995. Here, 1995, right? So they did a maintenance cut and the market continued to be very, very bullish. Over here, they did a maintenance cut, market was very, very bullish. Here, they did a maintenance cut, market was very, very bullish. So it all depends on whether it's a recessionary cut or a maintenance cut. In this case right now, looks more like a maintenance than a recessionary for now. So for now, I see the market more like 1995, a maintenance cut, rather than 2000 and 2008, which was a recessionary cut. So in 1995, what happened? Same thing. The employment situation was slowing down, and again, jobs were declining, right? There were job losses, as you can see. Monthly payroll growth turned negative, and at that point, the Fed cut rates. The Fed stepped on the gas. So if growth and hiring re-accelerates from the combination of interest rates cuts, Trump's tax cuts, and the full expensing of business investment, then that would be very bullish for stocks. And you can see exactly what happened in 1995. The job growth re-accelerated, and the stock market was very, very bullish. So for now, that seems to be the situation. Credit goes to Carson Research, who put together this table. And right now, notice that the markets are near all-time highs and the Fed is cutting interest rates while the market is really, really high. And people are saying, but isn't it concerning? The market is so high and they want to cut interest rates. Won't that cause a bubble? Now, has this happened before? Yes, it has. And these were all the times when the Fed cut interest rates when the market was already near an all-time high within 2%. So these were all the times it happened. It happened 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. It happened 22 times since the 1950s. And in those times, what happened to the market? Well, right after the cut, in the next 30 days, was the market up and down? Well, it was a coin flip. You can see that half the time it went up and half the time it went down. Over the next 3 months, the market was up 77% of the time. But over the next 1 year, the market was up 100% of the time with an average return of 13.9% and a median return of 9.8%. So what does this mean? So this means that in the next 30 days, there's a 50% chance the market will go up and a 50% chance it's going to go down. Now, if you ask me my guess, I think in the next 30 days, the market will go down. How much? I don't know. But I think it'll go down in the next 30 days. Why? Well, there are two reasons. The first reason is because, again, this is a seasonally bearish period of the year, right? September tends to be bearish. September tends to start out strong, but towards the end of September, the market tends to sell off. Again, this is seasonality. So that's one reason. Now, the second reason is simply because the market looks a bit overextended on the short-term charts, right? Or the short-term price action. So again, remember, market doesn't go up in a straight line. The market will always go up. It just doesn't go up in a straight line, right? So it moves in wave patterns. You can see wave up, wave down, 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 wave up, wave down. Now it's going on a wave up pattern. So when will it wave down? I can't predict. Could be tomorrow, could be on Wednesday, could be next week. I don't know. But there's a high chance that after waving up, it's going to wave down. Okay. So does this mean that I'm going to short the market and predict the wave down? No. Am I going to sell any of my stocks and let it drop and buy it back? No. Because I can't predict exactly where's the top and I can't predict exactly where's the bottom. So as long as I hold on to great companies, I stay through the ups and downs. But what I will do is once the market waves down, I'll use that opportunity to add more shares of high quality companies once they get undervalued. Once they go below the intrinsic value, they go to the support levels, I'll start adding shares. At the same time, once the market waves down, the VIX, the volatility index goes up, premiums become very attractive. So that's when I like to sell cash secured put options or put credit spreads to earn a lot of premiums. And then when the market eventually rebounds back in October, November, December, then those positions become very, very profitable. One thing to bear in mind is that everyone knows the Fed will cut rates on Wednesday. You know it, I know it, your grandmother knows it, all the traders and all the investors already know it, right? So the market already prices in all known information. So in a sense, people who are predicting the market will go up because of the rate cut, they've already bought into the market. So the market is already up based on the expectation, okay? But, and that's why I say when the Fed actually cuts rates, then the market could actually sell off from profit taking. Again, there's no guarantee, but that tends to happen. But as the Fed continues cutting rates for the rest of the year and next year, then after the initial sell off, the market should continue to rebound. So which industries are going to benefit the most from a rate cut cycle? The first beneficiary, obviously bonds. So as you guys know, bond prices move opposite of interest rates. When interest rates go up, bond prices go down. That's what happened in 2022. In 2022, when the Fed raised interest rates so aggressively, the biggest rate hike in 40 years, what happened to bond prices? Bond prices crashed, right? Both treasury bond prices and corporate bond prices. So now if the Fed cuts interest rates consistently for the next 1 or 2 years, bond prices should have a nice rebound. Already, you can see bond prices already beginning to price in the rate cuts. Now, one of the simplest ways to get exposure to bonds would be bond ETFs. So, for example, if you can look at some treasury bond ETFs like the REI, which is the 3 to 7 year treasury bond ETF. And you can see again in 2022, when the Fed raised interest rates aggressively, what happened to the bond, the treasury bond ETF? It collapsed, right? Went into this huge bear market, and then it kind of like went sideways for the next couple of years. And now we can see it's beginning to have a slight reversal in trend, where it's now wave up, wave down, wave up, wave down, wave up, wave down, wave up. It's beginning to slowly get back to that uptrend. This is the 3 to 7 year treasury bond ETF. Or you can look at corporate bond ETFs like the LQD. So this is a corporate bond ETF. And same thing. You can see again, when interest rates go up, goes down, right? And then when interest rates were held steady, it kind of like goes sideways. And now that rates are beginning to fall, it's beginning to reverse back into a new uptrend. So this is at the early stage of a new uptrend. You can also look at bond funds, closed-end bond funds. One of my students recently talked about one of the bond funds, which I thought was pretty interesting. I may start to take a stake in it, not because I'm looking for capital gains, because I can get capital gains in my growth stocks, but more for yield, because this is offering about 10% dividend yield with potential upside as rates come down. So the ticker symbol is PTY. This is the PIMCO Corporate Opportunity Closed-End Fund. So you can see again, when rates go up, the bond fund collapses, then goes sideways. And as rates come down, we should see this begin to rebound. And again, you also get a nice 10% dividend yield on this as well. Next big beneficiary are obviously REITs, Real Estate Investment Trusts. So I hold quite a number of REITs actually in my dividend portfolio, but I tend to buy REITs listed on the Singapore market because there's no dividend tax and they tend to have higher dividend yields. Plus, they've got lower gearing ratios. But whether is it Singapore-listed REITs or US-listed REITs, REITs benefit with lower interest rates. Why? Because REITs, they take loans from the bank in order to purchase the real estate. So when rates come down, their cost of funding reduces. At the same time, property valuation increases as cap rates go down. And with lower interest expenses, their net property income will go up. Their adjusted funds from operations will go up and their dividends per share will go up. And of course, the stock price will go up. As you can see, many of the REITs, they have already begun to increase in price as they price in the expectation of the Fed lowering interest rates. Now, of course, for Singapore listed REITs, those with more Singapore assets, they would already have run as Singapore rates have already come down. But those with more overseas assets, they are starting to increase in price as they factor in the drop in US interest rates. You can see, for example, CapitaLand Ascendas REIT that has both Singapore as well as overseas properties. You can see the price from dropping in 2022, again, going sideways as the Fed held rates, now beginning to rebound. And now, in fact, it's slightly above its fair value, but you're still getting more than a 5% yield. Another example would be Frasers Centrepoint Trust. This only holds Singapore assets, so it has really started to rebound as Singapore rates have come down. But again, there should be more upside as rates begin to come down even lower. Another example would be CapitaLand Integrated Commercial Trust REIT. You can see this has already gone above the fair value, and you're getting less than 5% yield. So I would wait for a bit of a pullback before adding more to this REIT. So generally, REITs will benefit from a rate cut cycle. Thirdly, obviously, real estate and housing-related stocks will benefit as well, besides REITs. Why? Because with lower rates, lower mortgages, that could spur home buying, that would be beneficial for home builders as well as related industries, whether it's Home Depot or Lowe's or Pool Corporation, where they sell swimming pools. Again, you can take a look at individual companies that are high quality. You can check them on Stock Oracle to check about how profitable they are, or simply can just buy the ETF. So for example, one ETF would be the Home Builders ETF, which is the XHB. You can see how it's affected by interest rates. Once again, in 2022, when the Fed raised interest rates aggressively, what happened? You know, XHB sold off. Now, it's important to bear in mind that it's not really the short-term rate that affects home builders directly. It is actually the long-term interest rate that affects mortgage rates. So when the Fed raised the short-term rate, the longer-term tenure rate went up in 2022. That caused home builders to sell off. Then once the Fed paused the rate increase and the 10-year treasury yield held steady, then the XHB recovered. But then what happened in 2025, early 2025, when Trump started his trade war, that caused a lot of concerns over inflation, that increased the 10-year treasury yield, and then it sold off again. But now the 10-year treasury yield has stabilized and the Fed is looking to cut rates, so the market is pricing in a rate cut cycle. You can see the XHB again now beginning to recover from that. And again, you can look at individual companies as well. So examples would be Home Depot or Lowe's. And I, by the way, I happen to own Lowe's. It's one of the stocks in my portfolio. And you can see it's already pricing in the rate cut cycle. You can see Lowe's is already, you know, beginning to go up. And it's a bit overvalued right now, so I wouldn't jump it right now. But it was a great time to add when it was near all these support levels. Remember, I always buy after a wave down, and never buy on a wave up, all right? So you can see wave up, wave down, buy. Wave up, wave down, buy. Wave up, wave down, buy. Now it's on a wave up, I never chase the girl. You know, I wait for it to wave up, and then if it waves down again, then I buy it again, right? So you can either trade it, you can invest it. There are many ways to play this. Next beneficiary would be consumer discretionary stocks. Why? With lower interest rates, people make lower interest payments, they have more disposable income, so they tend to spend more on higher priced non-essential items. So what are examples of consumer discretionary stocks? Well, you can go on to Finviz and look at their heat map. By the way, Stock Oracle will be coming up with our own heat map pretty soon, and it's going to be really powerful because it's going to include the economic mode as well as whether it's overvalued or undervalued. You know, all those are in the plans. Not right away, but Stock Oracle will have all these exciting upgrades to come. So anyway, if you go to Finviz and you look at consumer cyclical, which is the same as consumer discretionary, you can see the type of stocks that will benefit from, again, higher disposable income. So these are companies like internet retail companies, your Amazon, your eBay, your DoorDash, for example. But again, bear in mind, do check with Stock Oracle. It's a high quality company. If you ask me, obviously, you know, my favorite is Amazon. That's one of the highest quality consumer discretionary companies. And then you've got auto manufacturers, which I personally do not touch. But of course, leading the list would be like Tesla, for example, for those of you who want to invest in auto stocks. You've got home improvement stocks that are also, by the way, housing related, and they're also consumer discretionary. And then you've got apparel stocks. You have got your consumer cyclical auto parts, which I own AutoZone. I've owned AutoZone for many years, and in fact, it's one of my best performing stocks. It's a very quiet stock, no one talks about it, but slowly and surely making gains very consistently. Restaurants, travel stocks, like for example, I own booking.com. You've got residential construction, which I don't touch. You've got footwear accessories like Nike. I do have a small position in Nike, by the way. You've got specialty retail. You have got resorts and casinos, which I don't touch as well. So all kinds of consumer discretionary stocks that would benefit from lower interest rates. But again, you have to buy the high quality ones and do check with Stock Oracle, the ones with the highest predictability, the highest profitability, the one with the strongest moats, the one with the highest financial strength, and the ones that are undervalued. Those are the ones that we want to focus on. So again, for example, AutoZone, which I own in my portfolio for a number of years, this is a high quality stock, right? It's got high predictability, it's got medium profitability, medium growth, a very strong economic moat, it's got medium financial strength, but it's currently overvalued, right? That's why the valuation is low. So I wouldn't buy this right now, but if it gets undervalued, I'll add this stock. Another example of a high quality stock, which is within consumer discretionary, which I own, again, is booking.com, which is the world's largest travel agent. And again, same thing, you can see, you know, very predictable, profitable, pretty strong growth, strong moat, strong financial strength. But again, currently it is overvalued, you know. So you got to wait for the wave down pattern. And I said, what waves up will wave down. You know, once it waves down below intrinsic value, that's when I will add to my positions. So I wouldn't chase it right now. Like I said, wait for the wave down. Finally, small to mid-cap stocks as well as speculative growth stocks. Now, bear in mind that these last two categories are much riskier, right? So small to mid-cap stocks are much riskier. So I personally do not buy them individually. I rarely do. I would only buy usually through an ETF, like a small cap ETF, like the Russell 2000 ETF, like the IWM, which is already beginning to rebound. You can look at the charts yourself. And finally, speculative growth stocks. These are usually companies that are not yet profitable, but there's a lot of growth in the revenue. I tend to avoid these because they are very risky, but I do buy some of them when they turn profitable. Like I bought Palantir when it just turned profitable in 2022. I bought Celsius when it turned profitable. So I rarely buy them, but when I do buy them, I do want to make sure they turn profitable as well. But again, these speculative growth stocks tend to benefit a lot with lower interest rates. Most of the time when I do buy speculative growth stocks, they tend to be more for short-term trading than long-term investment. Like recently I bought Oscar and it's now very profitable, but it's a short-term trade. I notified my UIP subscribers and I'm still in the trade, by the way. I've not taken profit on Oscar yet. So I hope that you've enjoyed this video, and as always, may the markets be with you, and I'll see you guys in the next one. If you want to catch my latest videos, click on the subscribe button right now. Click on the bell so you get instant notifications once I upload my latest video. If you want to check out my online courses, go to piranhaprofits.com. We're going to learn how to invest and how to trade the financial markets and create an income from all around the world. If you want to join my live Wealth Academy program, go on to wealthacademyglobal.com and find out more about how you can learn investing and trading live online. This is Adam Koo, and may the markets be with you.